Tonight, God has impressed on my heart to share a few things just in this moment of time we have together. And by the time I get through, I really hope I can get you in the position of being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I'll get into that more as to what I mean by that, but being comfortable with being uncomfortable and being comfortable with making others uncomfortable. Real quick, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, that you're in the midst of us, in every seat in this place, Lord God. You're meeting us where we are. Thank you that you're answering prayers. You're giving understanding. You're opening eyes. Thank you, Lord God, that you have free course to do as you decide to do and to take care of each and every one of us in the way that we need it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. What I want to talk about tonight is very important for us to get a clear understanding. I want to talk to you about turning your inside out. Turning your inside out is living from the inside because that's going to determine what happens on the outside. 1 Corinthians 2:2, you can put it on the board. I have it here already in my notes. It says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." A lot of times we let circumstances and situations determine how we're going to act and respond. There's three major things to understand. And those of you who've been in church for a while, we understand spirit, soul, and body, right? But I'm going to call it a little different tonight. I'm going to talk to you about being God conscious, self-conscious, and sense conscious. Because we find ourselves living in those last two, trying to make it seem like we're living in the first one. And then we try to justify it on top of it. When I say living in those last two, God has equipped each and every one of us in some way or another. He's gifted us. He's given us insight in certain areas. And so sometimes we take those gifts and those insights and want to move and maneuver in our own ability. And you find yourself looking like this is God, but you can't figure out why it's not working. You can't figure out why things are just not quite clicking like they should, because I'm over here using the gift that he gave me. But in a little bit, I'm going to get to why it's not clicking, because there's three steps that God gave us and three things that Jesus did that we have a tendency to depend on ourselves. All of us do. I know some of us been in church for a very long time. And so we feel like we got it covered because we get up at 5 a.m. and pray. Because we're the first one here when the doors open at the church, we feel like, you know, we're doing all the things right. If you get in the second two, that was self-consciousness and sense-consciousness, the two can deceive you that you're in God consciousness. And you'll get a few things that'll happen right. And you'll get some things that'll come together. And so you kind of slip off a base some because, you know, I got this. Yeah. You know, I can handle this part right here. Yeah. And then before you know it, the enemy got you in left field and you looking for the base and it's nowhere to be found. Right. So tonight we're going to focus on what we need to do to pull the right things from the inside to function on the outside. If Satan can get you into sense and self-consciousness, he can get you into his consciousness, thinking you're in God consciousness. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth what?
Nothing.
Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. One of my siblings, I'm not going to name names because they don't like for me to do that. But we were in the office one day and it was a couple of us. We were having a conversation. It was maybe three of us in there. And okay, so we work here at the church. We have to be here for 8 o'clock. Okay, this is our job. So just like everyone else, we have to be here for 8 o'clock. That's a requirement. Now, some days we might be sliding in at 7:55, but we got to be here at 8 o'clock. Now, some days go smoother than others. I personally have kids at home. Some days go a little different, okay? Well, this sibling was standing there talking to me, and I noticed a white tag sticking out on the side of the shirt. So I didn't say anything, right? I didn't say anything. And when they turned around, I noticed a little print right here on the back of the shirt, right? So, okay, you got to know me and my siblings. We're very close. We have a whole little chat group, right, with it. It's just us. Apostle Miss Thompson not in it. It's just us. So I took a picture. I didn't say anything. I just snapped a close-up shot of the tag on the side of the shirt and the print on the back of the shirt and sent it to our siblings group, right? Because we get a kick out of stuff. But with that person wearing, okay, clear you know the shirt was inside out. So they were moving quick that morning, right? But for me, it caught my attention. And I mean, eventually I told him because it bugs me to see somebody's clothes on the outside. You know what I'm saying? Inside out. I mean, if you see somebody, your family member, and they walking around in the shirt inside out, aren't you going to tell them? Like, it's just going to bug you until you say something, right? That's what I'm talking about. When we walk as Christians the way we're supposed to, it's going to bug someone else enough for them to say something about why your shirt inside out. Okay, so what does that do? That gives me the opportunity to say some other things as to why my shirt really on inside out. And so sometimes my children will do it. They'll get up quick and throw something on, and they are not bothered one bit about it being inside out, whatever. It bugs me that you don't have your shirt on the right way. This is where we need to be spiritually. We need to be flipped so inside out that it bugs people when we walk into the room. You know, when an apostle walks into a place, I've been there, I've walked behind him before. There's a little rumbling goes on in the place when he walks in, right? Because he's walking in with his inside on the outside. So they don't understand, why am I feeling this way? What is this going on when he walks into a place? But he has already prepared his inside to show more than his outside. And so that's what I want all of us to do. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Get comfortable with making others uncomfortable. See, because that's how God is going to use you wherever you are. John 6:63, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, it is the spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. And the flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There is no profit in it. The words, which is the truth, that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. How do I walk in God consciousness? See, because when I share things, I believe in asking questions and having answers. When I walk away, if you're going to share something with me, I need you to give me the steps. Okay, now what you're telling me, I need to be here. How do I get there? So how do I walk in God consciousness? When your innermost being, which is your spirit man, connects with your inner man, that's the soul and the mental, it will in turn control your physical. That means as you put your spirit man first, my kids, and y'all hear me talk, that's, I go to church, I'm at home with these kids and my husband, and I'm going to a soccer game or a basketball game. That's my life, okay? So when I use examples, it's gonna include my kids or something related to them, I promise. But it's gonna come together, I promise y'all. In the morning time, my kids go to school in Baton Rouge, 20, 30 minutes depending on traffic. And I make it a point, we get in the car, they know the routine of what we're gonna do in the morning. We're gonna pray to cover the day, cover everyone. And then they have a particular confession that they do. They know it by heart. They got to recite it every morning. Next step is, and I start them out with 5 minutes of praying in the Spirit. Now, I explain to them each and every time before we start, this is not about quantity, it's about quality. And the whole reason you're doing this is so that you can come in partnership with the Holy Spirit for the rest of your day. Yes. And so I make sure I emphasize that to them, that it's not about making noise for 30 minutes. Now, if you pray for 30 minutes, that's good, but just make sure there's quality to it. Make sure that you're really pressing in to connect. In 5 minutes, the Spirit comes in that car with us. More than if I would have took them through an hour, because they're kids will take you at your word, first of all, but they understand why we're doing what we're doing. Because if you don't connect in the morning, you can't expect nothing the rest of the day. And so I emphasize to them, it is important to make it quality prayer, come in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and then God will take care of you the rest of the day. Listen, I also tell them, you don't pray the 5 minutes, get out this car and act like God don't exist. See, because wherever you go, if it's to your job, they're going to school. They're not too young to understand that they are ministers of Christ when they walk on that school campus. When you go to your job, you are a minister. It's not just up here with this little microphone on. It's more to ministry than that, but each and every person has to do their part. And I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. But I like to emphasize to them, because, see, I feel like that's part of my ministry, is to teach those boys what they need to be doing in order to walk correctly. And sometimes people feel as if I'm not in front of people, if I'm not up on this platform, then I'm not really ministering. But if you're at home eating dinner with your family and y'all pray and maybe discuss a scripture, you just minister to them. If you are at work and you're the person they know they can come to get prayed for, because they've seen you over on the side doing your own thing praying, then that's ministry. Each and every one of us are called to be ministers. Each and every one of us are called to reach people. You will reach somebody that I will never come in contact with. But if we don't go back to getting this inside to be our outside, see, because we fix ourselves up, we put on nice clothes, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you're supposed to. We do all of that and we take time to get ourselves together. Boy, especially if we're going somewhere where there's a lot of people, we take time to get ourselves together. Okay, what about your inside? Did we give God a quick two before we left? And expect him to take the other 24 hours and 56, 57, and 58 minutes? It is real important that we flip ourselves. Tonight, we got to flip, okay? I don't care how long you feel like you've been in church, how long you've been doing this thing. Now it's time to really do it. In every area, In order to make progress and produce fruit in your lives, you have to know how to get to the root, the innermost being. Jude 1 and 20 says that you should pray in the Holy Ghost. That's instructions right there. Leroy Jr. taught it last week. I think it was last Wednesday. He taught on praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost in quality, in focus, not being distracted. You know, Apostle taught us, if you get in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, that's better than that whole hour of just sitting there. It really is. And so you must hear God's voice. His voice cannot be heard from the outside. There are so many things in the world right now that have become distractions or imitation of who God is. There's a lot of glitz and glamour. There's a lot of things that feels like, notice I say feel, because see, your feelings are still this outside. It feels like this is God. But if it doesn't bring about a change, if it doesn't bring about a victory, if it doesn't bring about instructions, then there's something falling short about it. And you need to go back and check and see what it really is. The outer voice can get loud. It can get so loud that it will deafen your inner voice if you have not prayed in the Spirit and built yourself up to be able to hear properly. The crowd and the hype of things will have you thinking that's the direction to go. And the crowd, your family member, your friends, things on the internet will have you thinking that's the direction to go. And it's all distractions if, once again, it does not bring about change, if it does not bring about victory, and it does not bring about instructions for your life. When the voice of God overrules every other voice, that's when the blessings will start flowing in your life. There's a lot being said from a lot of what is considered high places, if the best way I can say it. A lot of what we have deemed to be the know, what people have deemed to be the top of the top and the best of the best, if it does not bring change, if it does not bring victory, and if it does not bring instructions in my life, then that's not the word for me. We can go through the motions and get excited. And there's nothing, I like to feel God. I like to feel the Holy Spirit sometime too. I know we all do. But if all you got is a feeling, if all you got is a feeling, then you're going to get down the road and that's going to wear off. Then what you going to do? That's where putting the time in with the Holy Spirit personally for myself. The person next to you can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. The reason I train my children the way I do is because they're going to get to the point where I can't do it for them. And so if I can get them to get it at a young age, if I can get them to get clear understanding of who God is, then I know that they'll be able to walk in it without me having to drag them. Let's put it like that. Satan sends substitutes. We know that. And the substitutes can become a glare that's so bright it's blocking you from the glory. Once he's able to block you from the glory, he's able to remove you from your destiny. Your destiny is the assignment that God has given you and the direction that he's sending you in your life. Romans 2 and 2. I'm going to read it out the New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It said, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. See, sometimes we're looking for a direction. I'm going to say in business. We're looking for a direction in business. And I've noticed online, y'all, there's so many people selling so many programs that's supposed to get you there fast. This one got a program to be able to do this right, to be able to market right, to be able to, you know, reach people, more people. And there's a lot. Now, I do, some of it's good, and some of these people are legit, okay? But you got to pray and make sure you don't be paying your money for every little thing that come up. Because some of these people tell you, oh, I made this amount of money. Yeah, they made it off of you buying their program. It's very important that you, at every single thing in your life, you need to ask God. Yes. See, because we think we're smart sometimes. And we done smart ourselves out of the will of God. Every single thing you endeavor to do, you need to talk to God about it. Everything you decide to do, some of you have businesses and you have things and that you're into and you want a new job and you want to change jobs. I'm going to get to you about the job in just a minute. But you need to ask God before you make a move. Not just because it sounds good and it looks good and they say they did it and they got all this money. Or they say they did it and they got all these people following them. No, it's important. Clearly, God says in his word, the word he has for you, right here in Romans 2:2, what I just read. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. In Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. Go to Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, we're going to read. Because Jesus did something in these verses that he's actually done for all of us. Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There's three things in this passage that Jesus did. And I need you to hear them as him doing this for you. Then Jesus, number one, he called. Each and every person that is born again and that's a child of God is called. All of you are called in some way, shape, or form to reach others for the kingdom. First thing he did was called. Be keen and listen for your calling. Number two, he gave. What did he give? He gave them power and authority. And number three, he sent. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. Number one, he called. Number two, he gave. Number three, he sent. Each and every one of you better realize he called you. He gave you authority and power. And he's sending each and every one of us out to teach about the kingdom and to reach others. That means wherever you work. That means when you go to the grocery store. That's why I like the Slack app. And what's going on there, because it makes all of us aware. Amen. It makes us aware everywhere we go. OK, God, is this one right here? Is this, should I talk to this person right here? Even if in that moment you watered. See, because a lot of times we're scared to do it because it didn't go all the way as far as we're concerned. Because, see, we're looking for that number. But if you just spoke to the person about who God is, you warded it, because God is the only one who give the increase. It's not us at all. And so for those of us who have never tried it, I'm going to commission you and send you to try it this week. Don't do it in your own ability. You got to trust God. See, because the thing is, ask the Lord in the morning, God, send someone across my path to tell of your love, to tell of your goodness, Father, and give me the words to say to them. See, because only God knows what they need. You might have your speech rehearsed. Well, when I see somebody this week, this is what I'm going to say to reach them. Mm-mm. You're not the one reaching them. You are a vessel being used by God. So what you thought you needed to say to this person is not what they needed to hear, but wait and let the Holy Spirit tell you, you guys, it will unfold right in your lap. The inside got to do it, not your outside. If you're operating from the inside, then the Holy Spirit will use you. You'll be finished and be like, I didn't even realize I had all that. Because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit that's working through you. Once you get yourself in the position where the Holy Spirit can work through you, all these things will be added. All this other stuff we're looking for will be added, but you got to get yourself in the position so the Holy Spirit can work through you. See, because when we get in fear about talking to people about Christ, then we're not trusting God. When you feel yourself scared to say something and you've gotten the nudge and the person is right there and y'all have striked the whole conversation about anything, right? They just talking to you just out of nowhere. 9 times out of 10, that's your door. But if you don't go through the door, because I don't know if they're gonna accept it, they might think I'm crazy talking about Jesus. Listen, let them think you're crazy. Let them think you're different than most people, that, because you are. That's taking your inside and flipping it on the outside. See, because that might make them a little uncomfortable, but if God told you do it, it's going to reach them at their heart. See, because what I don't want to happen is to walk away and not say anything. And that was my person God needed me to reach. I'm not going to wait for say and say, well, somebody else going to come across their path. I'm going to say something. And then at that point, if they don't accept that day, it's coming. Because you didn't work that ground enough so the next person can come along and get right in there. Okay? Disciples. In this verse, he's talking to his disciples. Basically, disciples are the ones who know Jesus. How many of us in here know Jesus? Disciples are the ones who have had an encounter with Jesus. Anybody has had an encounter with, then you're a disciple. We're not going to look at this verse and say, well, Jesus was talking to them, you know, because they were the 12 and they were with him all the time. And, you know, they had seen him do some other things. And so that's why they were ready to go out. And if you have had an encounter with Jesus and if you know him for yourself, then you are prepared to be sent. In Mark 6, verse 7. It's the same account, and it says he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth 2 by 2 and gave them power over unclean spirits. Right now, God is telling you to go out in power and authority. When we leave here tonight, I can't go with you. The person down the road probably can't go with you. But tomorrow, God gonna meet you where you are. Just because you sat in here and heard this tonight, he's going to, it's coming. Okay. So just get your mind right and understand I got to be ready. I just got to do the thing. That's just it. I have no choice. This is what he called me to. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm not going to let him down. Okay. You are in ministry wherever you are. I'm going to use an example here. And like I said, I got boys and my kids, and those things resonate with me. So that's the example I'm going to use. How many of you are familiar, and I might have shared this before, but how many of you are familiar with the movie Transformers? I mean, pretty much, you know, the robots, but they look like regular cars and stuff, you know. You might have one that's like an ambulance. You might have one that's like a police car. You got one that's a Corvette. You got one that's a dump truck, right? They're just going about doing whatever they've been commissioned to do, right? And nobody knows. Nobody knows what's really on the inside of there, okay? So you got the leader, Optimus Prime. Y'all know this stuff because I got kids. Optimus Prime is really a Big Mac truck, okay? So he the leader. You got Optimus Prime there, and they're all undercover. So people ride in them. They go along the day, they're riding on the interstate, they're driving down the street, they're parked at the stores, just anywhere. Okay, just imagine wherever you go tomorrow. Think about it. Just think about it. Wherever you go tomorrow and you pass by this Corvette, you're going to remember this. In your mind, just imagine if that was really the case.
Yeah.
What I am telling you, it is the case.
Yes.
Because it's you.
Yes.
So what happens is they're going about, because they were sent. Okay, let me go a little further. They were sent here. They're not of this world, okay? They're not of this world. They were sent here. They consider them aliens, okay? I'll take that. They were sent here for an assignment. They were sent here to take over where the bad guys were trying to tear things up. And so this is what I need you to do. You go in your place. Not yet. Don't let nobody know who you are. You go to your place right now. Okay? But when the time is right, Optimus Prime is going to speak up. So when he says, Transformers unite, that's each and every one of us walking in the power that God has given us. So if you're watching the movie, then Transformers, they start flipping. Okay, things start opening up. Things, compartments start opening up. Then you see some legs and you see some arms. And before you know it, there are these giants that's there to take over. You got to know the power that's on the inside of you. You got to know you were sent here for a reason. And the person down the street don't know it, but you're there to protect them. It is important that we walk in the power and the authority God has given us. You may be seated. It is so important that when God says, okay, it's time, then you're ready. See, because I've been praying in the spirit and I've been pulling this stuff from the inside and placing it on the outside. So when he calls for me and he puts me in a spot to take care of something, then I'm ready. I put the right fuel in. I've made sure everything is oiled up, all my joints and everything. So when I go ahead and flip and open myself up, I'm ready to do what he assigned me to do. Sit down. It is important to live from the inside to fulfill the assignment God has given you. God is constantly inviting you, giving you an invite to a greater dimension of living. Hallelujah. But that invite is a choice.
Yes.
Yes. Today, we're going to make the decision to stop taking chances and make the right choice. Challenge yourself to live a life in such a way that others see Jesus and ask you who he is. Yes. Another passage that I read that I'm going to share it with you because I got a couple of things out of there for tonight. But in Luke 9, 1 and 2, it talks about how he sent the disciples out. Okay, we get a little further down in that chapter. So, okay, he sent out the disciples. They've been traveling. They've been ministering. They've been doing the work of the Lord. So then they came back to him to give account of what all was done, all the miracles that took place, all the victories that were won. And so in we're going to go down to verse 10, Luke 9 and 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all they had done. And he took them and went aside privately to a desert place belonging to the city called Bethesda. Right here, we see where they've been working in the field. They've been doing the call of God, and they came back to God, gave an account. And you see here with Jesus took them privately to the side. Because see, you know, after a while, you might get a little fatigued. You're out there working, you're plowing. All of you know at some point you get a little tired. Sometimes you're trying to figure out, okay, God, I've been on this road for a while. You're looking for the answer to a certain situation. God, I'm doing my job. I'm talking to others. I'm living right. I'm reading the word. I'm praying. I'm still looking for this answer right here. And sometimes you might get a little fatigued. I didn't say you quit, but you get a little fatigued sometimes when there's a particular thing you believe in God for and you haven't seen it yet. So the disciples have been out working. Jesus took them to the side privately just to give them some time, okay, to gird themselves back up. You know, they need rest. Verse 11 says, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them. Now, if he took the disciples on the side to get some rest, and then Jesus saw the people and told them, come on. Can you imagine what the disciples was like? Jesus, we just got back. Like, can you just give us a minute? You know, let us get ourselves together. He said, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. And he healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. So the disciples, they were a little tired. Now Jesus didn't let the people follow him. Okay, so they might be in their feelings a little bit because they really wanted a little time with Jesus by themselves. Okay, God, Jesus, we've been out here doing this. Now we want to spend some time with you so we can get built back up. Okay, but Jesus, because he's for the people, he let the people come. He ministered to them, healed them. And when it was starting to get late and the disciples was like, well, Jesus, send the multitude away. See, sometimes they were looking to get built back up, but sometimes the thing to build you back up, sometimes the thing to build you back up doesn't look like the thing that's going to build you back up, okay? Because what's about to happen here is exactly what they needed to grow their faith further than it already was. But, you know, in the moment, in the flesh, they wanted to send the people away because we'll have nothing for them. Send them away, and then we can get us a little break, right? They wanted to send the multitude away. And we're going to be honest real quick. We try to pray the multitude away. We stand firm. We pray, shada-ba-ba-da-da-ba, Jesus, in Jesus' name, remove this from me. In Jesus' name, please, God, take it away. Sometimes there are things we're faced with that is just like this multitude. There are things we're faced with that it's there for God to be able to show himself strong, but it's also there to show us something in us that we need to adjust. It's also there to grow our faith, but we won't pray it away. We're going to do our confessions over it. We're going to pray in the spirit over it. And we want God to move it and move it right now. If that thing is still sitting there, just sometimes, if it's still sitting there, there's something in it. I mean, we don't like to hear that part because we want everything to be peachy keen. You live in this earth. There's sometimes there's something in that test that's in front of you. So you need to take a moment when you're faced with something and it seems like it's stuck there. It doesn't seem like it's moving. You need to take a moment. Stop screaming at it. Stop yelling the name of Jesus at it and ask God, what is it? Ask God, what is in this? See, because sometimes there's an area we need to fix ourselves. See, we always want to say it's that. It's always that. It's always them. It's always that over there. It ain't never me. But sometimes there's an area in you that needs to be built. There's an area in you that needs to be changed. There's an area in you that needs to be pray for those that despitefully use you. See, because sometimes situation and things go wrong. Say somebody do wrong by you. Okay. And we really want to say, sick them, Lord. Y'all know it's the truth. You really want to say, vengeance is the Lord's. Right. But just wait a moment. Because if I'm the Christian that I say I am, if I follow God the way I say I follow him, then my first thing should be to pray for that person. Now, it's hard sometimes to pray for those that spitefully use you. But we are. Thank you. We are Christians. And so sometimes you got to do the hard thing in order to line up and be right. So whatever it is, think about it right now. Whatever your multitude is that's in your face right now, instead of trying to send it away, ask God, what is in this? That's for me. I know you're going to take care of it because you always do, but it's lingering here for some reason. Why is it lingering? And what am I supposed to get out of it? See, because they wanted to send the multitude away. Go let them get something from somewhere else. We didn't done enough. Okay. But you go a little further down and Jesus told them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we don't have anything. I mean, this little boy got these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. Listen. And I know y'all know the story. We didn't heard it over and over again. But let's just listen to it one more time with some fresh ears. Let's listen to it again. They said they didn't have anything. All we have is these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. I mean, unless you want us to go spend all our money to go try to buy meat for these people. For there were 5,000 men So we know that means there was more women and children also. Make them sit down, he said, and do 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Now, this is where Jesus is going to show them who he is. This is the reason I allowed them to come. See, because you think I allowed them to come just to heal them. So you felt like I should send them away. But what you didn't understand a little while ago is I allowed them to come for you to see that you have more than you think you have. See, they said all we have are these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. But see, if you take your little bit, if you take your little bit, because see, to you, it's just a little bit, but to God, it's everything. If you take your little bit and turn it over to God and let him bless it. If at the end of this story, they picked up, how many disciples were there, y'all? How many baskets did they pick up after? They picked up 12 baskets for each disciple to have one. And that was an over and above. Because where you grew the most is watching this fish be broken and another piece show up. Amen. And then he broke this bread and then it grew back out again. Can you imagine how their faith grew? Can you imagine what happened to their inside by just watching that happen? See, there's a few things you're going to have to allow Jesus to touch in your life so that he can break it and something else grow back. So he can break this and another piece grow back. So he can break this and another piece grow back. But see, when you send the multitude away, you're not even going to get to the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. So let me slow down and say, God, what is this? See, because I'm trying to get to the 12 baskets left. All of us are on assignment. And in the midst of that assignment, when you take your little bit and give it to him and let him bless it, that's when you're going to get over and above in the overflow. So when you pray, ask God to grow me. So ask God, can you grow me in this situation, Father? Can you grow me and bless me in the midst of this so that I could be a blessing to others? Because think about it. After Jesus did that in front of the disciples, you know they were ready to tear down everywhere they went after that. I know I would. You wouldn't be able to tell me anything about who Jesus is. So God, Jesus wants you to allow him to do that thing for you. And in the midst of it, grow your inside, fold it to the outside, so that the next thing you face, the next situation that come at, see, you want to run up out of this one, but you hadn't gotten everything out of it yet. But let's stay right there and get, it's uncomfortable sometimes to sit in it and let God be God. It's uncomfortable sometimes to look a situation in the face and feel like it's not moving, but still stand there. But like I said, we're going to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. To allow God to be who he is in our lives. I'm almost finished, y'all. What you need, you already have. They had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, didn't know what they had in their hands, but Jesus is who he is. So he had to show them a little something in order for them to get full understanding. Sometimes, like I said, you think what you have is small. I'm about to give y'all another example. And yes, it's because of my kids. Who's familiar with the movie Lion King? Lion King is a classic. Simba was a little cub lion, right? And him and Nala, see, I know all the names, they ran off. You know, Zazu the bird, he was supposed to try to follow. They ran off and they ran into some rough territory. And there were the hyenas, which the hyenas, they would eat the cubs. And now Simba, knowing, he knew who his dad was. And he's seen his dad in action. So, and he knew the hyenas were scared of his dad, right? But he's a offspring of his dad. So he runs into the hyenas and they're threatening him and whatever. And Simba bristles himself up and he goes, rah. Y'all remember that? So what do the hyenas do? They fall out laughing. I mean, rolling on the ground, just laughing. So Simba gets himself together again, and he girds himself up. And with everything in him, he goes, rawr. They are so tickled at him. Like, they was like, this is about to be our meal today. Okay. Third time, he did it again. He girded himself up, and I guess Dallas in there like, I don't know what this is, but we got to do something, right? And he goes, rah. By this time, he is the laughingstock of all the hyenas. But like I said, Simba knew who he was. He knew whose offspring he was. So once again, I'm going to gird myself up. He took everything in and pulled it from his feet, right? That fourth time, Simba pulled it up and opened his mouth, and you heard this roar that blew all the hyenas off their feet, right? And so the hyenas getting scared and whatever, and Simba standing there like, I did it. But see, what the hyenas saw was Mufasa. What the hyenas saw and what they start juking for and moving for is because they saw Mufasa, right? Don't worry about it if you feel like Simba. Don't worry about it if you're facing this thing and it seems big to you, and you're facing this thing and it seems like it won't quit. You're facing this thing and it seems like it won't let up. You keep roaring because you got a backing. Yes. Keep roaring. That thing sit there, them hyenas sat there and laughed at him. Did he back down? He didn't back down. He pulled it up again. Keep girding yourself up and doing what you know to do is right. Keep girding yourself up and praying. Keep girding yourself up and stay 10 toes down for what you're supposed to be doing. Because there's going to come a time and there's going to come a place where you're going to open your mouth to roar and they're no longer going to hear you. They're no longer going to hear the little voice coming out of you. They're going to hear God for who he is. They're going to hear God in that situation, and they're going to flip over and they're going to roll it over. It's important, and I'm about to close. It's important to live from the inside out. When we walk out of here, and we go about our day tomorrow. First of all, in the morning when you do your prayers, quality over quantity. Don't go through the motions, because the motions can't get you anywhere. Now, I tell my kids, and I am about to close, I tell my kids, we've prayed, you made that hookup and that connection, but what you have to do throughout the day, ask the Holy Spirit, nudge me, bring God back to my remembrance. They're children, they're going to get out there and play, they're going to have their friends, they're going to be in PE, they're going to be in math class, they got to think about all this stuff throughout the day. And I've had them tell me, Mom, I was in so-and-so class, and I remember God was there. Do you know what that does? Especially at a young age like that. Do you know what that does when you remember? Yes. Remember who you are. Yes. And whose you are. Yes. Amen. Amen.